Hey guys, this is Spencer. We talk about postmortems today, and where we postmortemed our own podcast on what we can do better and what we did very well. So we split it up into two podcasts because it went pretty long, and that was actually one of the things we talked about in our podcast. So this week you'll hear about what we did right and all the fun stuff that we did this week, and the next week we'll talk about what we can work on better. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Welcome, everyone, finally, to another Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
Booyah!
So, we're going to try something different today. We're going to have kind of a schedule. We've got some things to talk about. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to first do introductions. It's going to be really easy this time because there's two of us. We're going to go through, we're going to kind of catch up a little bit, and then we're going to talk about a topic. And we're going to try to keep it to about 30 to 45 minutes. We'll see how well that works.
It's our first time. What do you expect?
Anyway, so, obviously, we've been playing League. Wait, oh, I messed it up already.
Dude!
Welcome, everyone, finally, to another Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
Booyah!
So, we're going to try something different today. We're going to have kind of a schedule. We've got some things to talk about. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to first do introductions. It's going to be really easy this time because there's two of us. We're going to go through, we're going to kind of catch up a little bit, and then we're going to talk about a topic. And we're going to try to keep it to about 30 to 45 minutes. We'll see how well that works.
It's our first time. What do you expect?
Anyway, so, obviously, we've been playing League. Wait, oh, I messed it up already.
Dude!
Party foul. Alright, so, I'm Trent Baird, and I am joined this week by...
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is Spencer Buchanan. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's Trent and Spencer, again.
Calling out from Salt Lake City.
What's up? All right, this is not working very
well. No. Should we start it up again?
No, let's just keep going.
Okay.
I mean, people, if people are listening to this, they kind of expect this, right?
Or they tolerate it. One of the two.
Yeah.
Of course, no, okay, so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. And oh, cool. we allotted 5 to 10 minutes of rambling at the beginning, but I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I'm like, how do they do intros? How do they transition from one thing to another? And you know, they get the little catchy music, and you hear one tune, and you go, oh, okay, they're done talking about random things. Now they're going to talk about the topic of the day. But Radiolabs is like the coolest. It's just like a whole bunch of like rambling, like just mumbling or something mm-hmm. like that, and they put at the beginning of it, and they're like, hey, this is Radiolab, and you're like, oh dude, so jealous. And then the two guys, Jad Abumrad, I always forget his I can't ever pronounce his last name.
I don't know. I haven't
John
listened
Crowich.
To it for a long time.
Oh, those two, and they always like complain at each other, and it almost sounds like they're about to like, you know, knife each other or something, and they're like, oh, podcast startup. Okay, so this is, you know,
nice.
I don't want to stab you, just so you know. But
is that what you were segueing to?
No, I just thought it was a really fun intro, and I thought, man, maybe we should get more organized sometime. But
yeah,
but the topic of the day, unbeknownst to me,
wait, let's talk about what we've been playing.
Well, no, let's tell them what they're going to listen to
no.
the 10 random minutes.
No, let's
yeah, because I
okay, all right.
Topic of the day is postmortems. We're going to have a postmortem of our podcast so far, and we're going to talk about postmortems if we ever get there to video games and yeah. how they work with video game development
and kind of what they are. Because I'm guessing a lot of you might know what they are, but I'm pretty sure my mom doesn't. So
I get to tell you the story of how I postmortemed my family reunion.
Oh
dude,
that's
it was
cool.
So epic. Okay.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I liked it. I had fun.
So
I made my brother-in-law kind of really mad at me. Anyways.
The big question is, did you guys take the feedback that was gained through the postmortem and implement any changes to make it better.
I will let you know because we just rented the family reunion locale.
Oh, nice.
So things are still in the works, but the things that I was most concerned about, which I actually think I blogged about on my development blog because they were so interesting how they related to exact issues that I dealt with, whether it was a family or game development. But anyways, cool. We're totally segueing past our 15 minutes of rambling. This is kind of making me mad.
Well, what do we need? Do we need the 15 minutes of rambling?
I don't know. Did you have something to ramble about?
League of Legends. I think we already
did. Yeah, I don't. I'm cutting
that. Oh, how was your Christmas?
Hey, Christmas. Awesome. Montana, the coldest. It was actually gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve is when we got together with everyone because some people had to leave on Christmas Day. And it dumped like 5 or 6 inches in Montana.
Nice.
So white Christmas.
I had like...
Oh, it was gorgeous.
2 to 3 feet of drifts by my house.
Where were you?
Kearns.
Kearns.
Yeah, Fort Kearns.
Fort Kearns.
Kearns, Utah is west of Salt Lake City and a little bit south. It's basically in the foothills or right before you get to the foothills. And then there's a big copper mine a little bit further west.
And then there's a toxic waste dump right next to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's on the other side of the mountain, right?
Oh, that's Tooele.
Yeah.
Anyway. Tooele. No,
look it up.
The thing that killed me, though, with Montana,
yeah,
it was so flipping cold. It didn't snow for the next 3 days. All the forecasts said it would snow, and I guess in Utah it snowed every single day for like 3 or 4 days.
I shoveled my walk many times.
It didn't melt in Montana. So all that snow that we had, not one bit of it melted. And I'm not used to that. I'm used to Utah snow where it melts in the valley, and then you're like, I'm going to go ski this fresh, you know, awesome powder. No, it didn't melt there, and so Nolan cleaned the roads up. It was, this was Billings, Montana. This is like 100,000 people in this town, but none of the roads were maintained. Everyone was driving around, just sliding all over the place. And I had to go get baby wipes on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Guess what's not open on Christmas Day?
Anything.
I found one gas station, and they didn't have baby wipes, so I got some sodas and went home. But.
Paper towels and water?
Yeah, we were like, well, we're doing that, but we're a little dumb, and we need wipes for some reason. It's my wife.
No, I'm just telling you for the future.
No, I know. We were doing that for like a day and a half. We were doing it for like a day and a half, and then we were like, let's just go get the wipes. And for some reason, we decided Christmas Day to watch. It was actually quite an interesting, serene moment that there was nothing open, but there was lights on, and there was some cars driving around probably looking for some random item as well. It was totally Silent Hill in the snow. Creeptastic, yeah.
Oh man, super we should send that to Konami.
Didn't they do?
Who did Silent Hill? Was it Konami? I want to say Konami, but now I don't remember.
But didn't they do one with that was in the snow?
Silent Hill.
Yeah, one of the Silent Hills. I think
after the first one.
Yeah,
the first Silent Hill was so crazy.
Dude, that was wasn't I that remember. Dreamcast too?
It might have been. I played it on PlayStation.
I think it originally got that was there was one that originally got. Published on Dreamcast, and that was just like freaking mind blowing.
The Dreamcast was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I saw one at Savers the other day for like $3.
Why did you not snag it? Because I know you didn't.
Because it was really like $10, and I was like, I don't think I can justify this to my wife. And there's no games. I mean, I guess eBay. I should have.
Did you know there's people actually developing games and they're printing them for the Dreamcast?
That's awesome.
There's a small community of people that just like are so in love with the Dreamcast that they're actually developing for it. And I think Sega's like, we don't care, go for it. But
yeah.
They're actually developing and printing discs for the Dreamcast. It's pretty interesting.
But no, back to Silent Hill, the original.
No, I don't want
the first time. Me. The first time I played that game, it took me over 20 hours to beat. I was so scared. The next time I played it, I was still a little scared, but it took me 9 hours. Just because the first time I played it, I was like, what? And every time I would just walk through that whole town and just like
something's gonna come get me. Something's gonna come get me. Something's gonna jump out.
Like my shoulders were tense the whole time, and it was the greatest game.
For some reason, so Resident Evil was Resident Evil 2 for 64 was the one that I played. Yes. And we rented it for a weekend and we played through, and then we found out that if you play it 6 times, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, it unlocks some special mode where you're a slab of tofu and you have to escape, and you obviously have 0 weapons because you're tofu, and you have to run through all these different halls avoiding enemies. And if you get through, then you're the tofu master. I don't know what, I can't remember, but we're like, we gotta play through this 6 different times in this order. And we did it, and it takes, we got it down to 2 hours a run. Mm-hmm. After the first one took about 4 or 5 hours, and then after that, three hours, and then it's every 2 hours we could get through a run. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we just played this for 12 hours straight at least. And I'll tell you, I was driving home after that, and I just thought, I am so creeped out. I was so desensitized because I had seen the mm-hmm. exact same horror moment over and over and over again. But then all of a sudden, like, it soaked in, that and shark. I was like, shark?
Resident Evil 2?
That was the alligator.
In the basement?
It was the alligator.
Was it alligators?
Yeah, it was it? Well, no, there were
sharks.
No,
I thought there was a shark in there.
There was a gigantic alligator. Oh. Like, we're talking like 50 yeah. feet long,
yeah.
as big as the tube. Uh-huh. But if you got the rocket launcher, three rockets, it's gone.
I'm getting, like, freaked out just thinking about
it. Yeah, it was such an interesting. And that was one of the last probably horror games I've played, because I don't, you know, like, I've seen Slender, I've seen Amnesia, I actually have it on my Steam, but I don't even dare open it. I don't know.
Like, I heard Amnesia is the scariest.
Yeah. And there's actually a buddy of ours here that he's made a horror game that's related to Cthulhu, and you're on an island. Everything's about Cthulhu nowadays. I don't know why.
Well, have you never read H.P. Lovecraft?
Well, no, I know of it. I haven't read it. I have not read it.
What?
I haven't read it. Oh, it's on my list. That one I know is on my list. Hey, don't judge me.
I don't even know you anymore.
Stop judging me. But anyways, he made a game where there's a cult on this island, and mm-hmm. and you go around, and it's very amnesia-ish that you have no weapons, but they can kill you. But you can see them, and they're just normal people, but they're also cult members that are kind of cuckoo. Mm-hmm. But the screen starts getting weirder and weirder the closer you get to your goal, because it's cool. actually driving you insane.
Yes.
And that's like the whole premise of this. Yep. This island that you're on, and it's absolutely gorgeous that he and his buddy or brother, I think, made the whole game.
So that sounds it's like really neat. That sounds like the I don't even know what you call it. It's anyway the whole premise of not at the Mountains of Madness. What is it? Call of Cthulhu,
okay.
Which is a story by H.P. Lovecraft, which was written in, like, the 20s,
mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about. Like, if you go through and read it, you're like, what? Weirdest stuff. I love it. It's my favorite. But anyway, there's this guy who goes to this island and finds this little statue mm-hmm. that drives him insane.
Nice.
And you go through as this inspector who, like, uncovers this and starts uncovering more and more and more, and slowly starts to learn about Cthulhu and how cool it is. So, just so you know,
mm-hmm.
my dog, his name is Donnie, and I love him very much. My wife got him for me
uh-huh.
For my birthday before we got married. So, my birthday is on the 10th of July.
Okay.
Just so you know, everyone.
Hint, hint.
And I got married on the 15th of July.
The next year.
No. No.
5 days later.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we didn't actually get him until after the honeymoon because he was really young.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave me, like, this little picture, and he was all black. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. We should name him Cthulhu. She was like, no, that's a dumb name.
Did so she know the him, reference? Did she know the reference?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She named him Donnie. And so I named him Donnie Cthulhu Baird.
Wow.
That's his full name.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that you gave your dog a last name or a middle name. Zing!
He actually inherited my last name because I'm his dad.
Yeah, that's doubly creepy, but okay. Yeah. Moving on to something else.
Yeah.
How was your
good segue?
Your Christmas. We didn't talk about your Christmas.
Oh, it was nice.
Cthulhu-tastic?
My wife got me tons of Thunderhead Interactive Sure.
Oh my gosh.
She got me a she got me t-shirts. She got me a polo. She got me business cards, business card holder. Like, I'm pretty much ready to go.
Trip totally ripped his shirt off to show me his undershirt, and I was hoping it would be Superman, and he'd say something about sloth.
It's even better.
It's even better.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool shirt. Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. Yeah. Ooh, no! I got one!
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
What, Lord of the Rings what?
The Lego? I actually get some Lord of the Rings Lego. I got Shelob eating Frodo and Sam.
Nice. Good. Just cool.
Keep it. The web, like her spinneret actually works. Yeah. I got the trilogy on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's the Lord of the Rings you're talking about.
Yeah, and so now I get to go through and watch Rudy tell Frodo that this is my favorite line. You ready for it?
Yes.
Goonies never say die, Mr. Frodo.
He actually says that.
The best. No, he doesn't actually say that.
Well, like in the commentary or something is what I was thinking.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. It would be hilarious if he does. No, but there's that
Aragorn! You Goonie!
Oh, man. And then Sauron grabs his hand and speeds up the car. While he's riding on his sister's pony. Yeah. But no, like, there's that part where Frodo's, like, giving up, and he's like, oh, I can't do it. And then Samwise comes in and, like, gives him a little pep talk. And it's basically, Goonies never say to my Mr. Frodo.
It's our time, our time!
Picks him
down here! In the mines of Mordor.
Yeah.
Their time.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. Got to spend a lot of time with my family, which is always great.
Got to
play a lot of League, which was also fun.
I was computerless. I had a computer, but I didn't have one good enough to play League, so I was computerless. But I got some really cool games. So my mom's like, hey, do you need anything? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, well, go make a list on Amazon wish list, and I'll look at stuff. And I was like,
nice.
The only thing, we've got everything for the girls. There's nothing I can think of other than here's some video games that I've been meaning to pick up. And it was like, Force Unleashed 2, I've been meaning to buy it, and a couple other games, and some of the Lego Harry Potter, Lego Indiana Jones. I'm like, man, I want
Lord of the Rings.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say, actually. I don't care about the DVDs. I want the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, we also saw The Hobbit. It's so good.
I heard
it's hard to go back and watch Lord of the Rings.
Isn't that bad? Hobbit. Are that really?
No, it's really good, and it's really vibrant. Whereas going back and watching Lord of the Rings, it's really like dim. Does that make sense?
Interesting. No, and I know why.
Like the color palette.
I'll tell you why in a second. Mm. We got Epic Mickey 2.
Oh.
Okay, so all these games that I got, a couple of them were for me, but most of them were, I want my girls to be able to play this with me. Mm-hmm. And so Epic Mickey 2, absolutely jaw-dropping, amazing game mechanics, amazing co-op play. Or like, yes, you can play it one player, but this game was meant to be played with two players. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely meant with two players.
That's what they said.
Oh, it was, and they did phenomenal job designing it so that it is, the first player is meant to be dad, and the second player is meant to be the child.
Oh, that's awesome.
The second player doesn't have to do hardly anything.
Mm-hmm.
The jump, he doesn't have a double jump. He has a helicopter float jump. So it's like the easiest way for him to platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to do all the work.
So
with
what you're saying,
it's
what
absolutely
you're saying
amazing.
What really happened is you gave the first player to your daughter.
Yeah.
And you got the helicopter.
Okay. I wasn't going to say
you're
that.
So good.
Shut up.
Platformers.
Yeah. I'm not, but no, I had so much fun with it, and it was really frustrating. My daughter got really mad because she couldn't figure out a couple things at the beginning, and it took us like 30 minutes just to get through the first, section, but after that, she like was getting it, and every now and then I was like, here, give me the control, and I would do it for her, because there are some things that are she's not very familiar with, but she was getting used to it, and we just, it was absolutely a ball to play this game, and it was nice. Like, wow. Disney did an amazing job to not doing some floaty, flowery princessy game. I mean, this one's very rough. A lot of good game mechanics, and coupling it with the IP. and twisting the IP. Like, yeah. I haven't played the first one, but I knew that it's a land of forgotten tunes, and so it's like all the scrapped drawings that people made, and so it's all these tunes that no one cared about, and so there's Goofy and there's Donald and there's Minnie or Mickey, or not Mickey, but they're all of them, but they're all robots and they're all like broken, and so they're all imperfect characters of the real character, and so it gives them liberty to make them break some rules that you normally couldn't with the Disney environment.
Do things that they normally wouldn't do.
Right. Yeah, and it's really, really good. It's just absolutely fun. The environments are gorgeous. Okay.
It looked like a fun game.
Yeah, and it's well worth its time, and I'd recommend getting it, and you can borrow it from me, because I know you're cheap, so. Double zing!
Man.
Ouch. Okay, so Hobbit. Kotaku wrote about this. Did you read that one?
Nope.
Oh my goodness. Okay, this is the last one, and then we're going to get into the real meat of the
thing.
But Peter Jackson made a point during the entire production that he was going to shoot this in 60 frames a second.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Nope.
So, or no, excuse me. Is it 45? Maybe it's 45. I think it's 45 frames a second.
Okay.
It's not 60, but it's like 40 or 45 or 50 or something like that.
Okay.
Everyone was really leery about that, because the only two places that we've seen more than 24 frames a second is soap operas and video games.
Hmm.
And soap operas, they call it the soap opera effect, because they shoot them in really high frames per second, and it gives this really eerie feel that you approach the uncanny valley a lot more.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we've just gotten used to it, and that's how soap operas are made. Everything else, every film, every TV show is 24 frames. That's how it is. Video games are 60 frames, and it has a completely different aesthetic. And it's something very distinct that you don't notice unless you're looking for. But it's there. And so he's shooting at a really high frames per second. 48, that's what it is. It was double 24, so it's 48 frames a second. So he's shooting at 48, and everyone's coming out of there. And the critic on Kotaku said, I felt like I just watched a video game for 2 hours, or three, or five, or however long the movie is. And did you grunted in a certain way? Did you feel that?
I actually. Do you agree with that statement? In a pleasant way.
So he said it wasn't necessarily negative. He's just like, that felt like I was watching a movie. A video game. And some of the concerns he had is, we associate that higher frame rate with video games, thus we know that video games, you die and then you come back and you just kill them again, right? Mm-hmm. And if you die, you come back and then you can beat up 10 guys in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said naturally while he was watching that, he felt like there was very little drama and very little suspense in this moment, because he's like, oh, they'll just die and redo it. You know, like, that was subconsciously in his mind. He's like, yeah, I'm not really concerned that they're getting chased by the evil goblin, warg, monster, violent troll thingy. I don't know I haven't seen read the book for a while, but, you know, whatever the scene is, he's like, I'm not really concerned subconsciously, because I know they're just going to repeat this and do it again because it's a video game. Oh, wait, it's a movie. Huh. It just doesn't feel right. And then there's also that getting closer to Uncanny Valley, that he said certain parts were just so crisp and so clear that it felt... Like I'm trying to think about it, because I've
so Gollum was incredible.
Was he
in this?
Ooh, just that's like, cool.
His animation was amazing, and I think part of that is probably because at 48 frames per second, he looks much closer to like a video game.
Yeah,
or like, you know, some 3D. Well, I guess it is a 3D animated movie. Pretty much. But he looked really good, and his sync was so on. Like the lip sync and the facial animations were like far and away, like 10 times better than 2001 when the movie first came out 11 years ago.
10, 11, wow. That's a long time.
It's crazy, huh? Anyway, but yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Even the liberties that they took with it, it changed a ton of stuff.
Oh, good.
But it was, like, the only thing that I had, even the slightest issue with.
Spoiler alert.
All of the violence.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of violence. Like,
oh, interesting.
Like, there's 3 or 4 beheadings and just, like, people stabbing each other and just really, really super violent.
Now, how does that compare? I mean, there was 50-minute war battles going on in the other movies. Mm-hmm. So how did that...
It was not as graphic and not as visceral.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which is strange. Which was because of the 48.
I mean, could it have been the 48 frames, or did they show a lot more blood? Show a lot more.
I think they put a higher focus on it. I felt like this one was closer to R than the first ones were.
Hmm. Okay.
Just because of the level of violence. I mean, the first ones, I would actually be fine watching with my kids, if it wasn't that they are so scary at parts.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The Hobbit, which was a book for his kids, and actually it's the first book Asher and I read together.
Interesting.
We brought him home from the hospital and we started reading it that same day. It was awesome.
I don't know if that counts, but okay, keep going.
We've read it together. Don't be that guy. But we read it, and there was nothing in there that I would... I would read it to him now. I would read it to him anytime.
Cool.
But the movie... I would not take him to that movie until he's much older.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which is strange, because it was originally written for his children.
So this is what I think that 48 frames a second does. I haven't seen the movie.
Sure.
You know, that's obviously the preface here. But I think they may have gone back and did the exact same scenes. And here's an example. If you have a good enough... This is mentioned in that Kotaku article, and it dawned on me that I'd seen this. My brother has this type of TV that it actually upscales the frame rate.
Hate those.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out what it was, because I was watching Cars, and
it's
felt...
LCD.
I don't know. It's just certain newer flat screens will upscale to 48 frames, and it's just, and so I'm watching, you know, a Disney Pixar movie, and I'm like, man, it feels so visceral. It feels like there's dimension in that, and it feels
like you're watching like a home movie or something.
Yes, and that's that soap opera effect, and you can turn it off, and some people, like you say, they hate it and they have to turn it off. But you know, my sister, she's like, oh yeah, I can't stand watching anything but on this TV. And I was like, oh okay.
Like, and I was watching, what was it? I was just walking through R.C. Willie,
uh-huh.
Which is the local furniture store, and they had Avatar playing on one of those TVs. And I looked at it, and I was like, man, this just looks like hokey and cheap.
And that's the other thing that this guy talks about in Kotaku, is that was one of the unfortunate feelings he had, is I feel like this movie feels cheap, and it feels kind of hokey. Because it's so, you can see every single frame, and you're seeing so many more frames per second that it's giving you too much detail, and it's getting too close to Uncanny Valley, which is why. And I can't wait to watch the movie. I'm obviously going to go watch it, but right after Twilight,
awesome.
I need to watch Twilight still.
My wife's seen it. I want to see Twilight.
My wife's seen it twice already. I'm really jealous. I read all the books before she did.
So
Confessions of a Game Dev.
I actually
remember.
Just want to watch it because it looks so fascinating. The first one, oh, it was so awesome. We've talked about this.
No.
How awkward it is.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome because it's just so terrible.
But it's not terrible. It's just awkward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And the fourth one, I went to the fourth one, part one. Did we talk about this? I don't remember. I went to it,
so.
And I told my wife, I said, I am going to laugh during this movie. She said, you better not laugh. And halfway through, she's like, okay, you can start laughing because this is bad. And I was like, thank you. Because this wife, is, it was bad.
My wife has gone to all of them with her sisters.
Uh-huh.
And every single time she's come back and she's like, that was the worst one so far.
Oh, really?
That was the worst
one. Oh, my wife always says, well, this one's way better than the last one. It's like, yeah, that's what we said about the Star Wars prequels. But a piece of poop is not better than a piece of poop when they're both pieces of poop. Well, I mean, just because the one's shinier doesn't mean that... It doesn't make it a piece of poop. It's still a piece of poop.
I don't know.
Please do not defend the Star Wars.
I didn't actually.
We will end the podcast right now.
I didn't actually work a whole lot over the break.
Uh huh.
So I got to change a lot of poopy bums. So I know that that some poop is better than others.
Yeah, but none of them are you going to stick in front of you and stare at for 4 hours. Would you take any of those diapers and stare at it for 2 hours?
No.
I rest my case. Every single one of them goes in a bag and gets thrown out within minutes.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how shiny or how wonderful the amazing tea leaves you can read out of a diaper.
Oh, man.
It's crap.
Oh. My 1-year-old, we found out he's got a milk allergy.
Oh, sad.
And so he's been on soy.
Oh.
Which, I love soy milk. Delicious. But, anyway.
Time for the new topic.
About poop.
All right.
Let's talk about...
We've degraded to the poop section.
We're segueing here into the post-mortem of the podcast. So,
awesome.
First of all, Spencer, explain to us what a post-mortem is.
Post-mortem is an idea during the development process that you sit everyone down and you ask the questions of what worked, what didn't work, what can we work on, what can we do better. It's meant to be a very open process. You know, you can kind of lay everything out. I came from an art background, and so critiquing was very common.
Yeah.
And everyone cried the first couple times because someone, you're like, you hate me. No, I just hate your process and your project that you made. It's terrible. I don't hate you. You know, and then once you get past that point, anything, you know, it's like, throw it at me. Oh, okay, I didn't think of that. I'm sorry, you know. But the experiences I've had with postmortem in the last year and a half have always been a little sketchy just because of that, because you don't know who you're going to set off. And so you're like, I really need to say something, but I'm afraid to. But I, you know, and so you try to, I'm not saying this is how it should be, but it ends up being sometimes sugarcoating it. But man, when people start, you know,
getting real
is when emotions get a little high. But if you can just be adults about it, you can really learn a lot about yourself. I mean, that's the whole point, is let's reevaluate what we've been doing, how we're doing it, and move on, you know, and be better people.
Yeah. So. Well, and really get a better product.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to see some examples of postmortems, go to gamasutra.com.
Or just Google it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
You'll find Gamasutra.
Yeah, you'll find
Gamasutra. They have hundreds, if not thousands, of postmortems. In fact, there was a book that they published a few years ago.
Really?
Like some of the, I think it was like the top 25 or top 50 postmortems that I read.
I need to find that book.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great book. And they always go through and you know, they say five things that went well and five things that didn't go well and you know, what they learned from the process. And it's a really useful tool.
Yeah, extremely insightful.
To go through and read those, because you learn from other people's mistakes, you know, and well, you try to learn and try to implement some of the things, and it's not always successful, but it's okay. That's why we do it. You know, we try things so that we can fail at them, so that we can learn what works and what doesn't, you know?
You miss 1,000 goals that you don't even try to hit.
No, Wayne 100%.
Gretzky. Oh, okay. Wayne Gretzky said something insightful that I totally slaughtered.
Yep.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we need to realize is, I think it was Disney or Pixar that said fail hard and fail fast. I've been writing that, I've actually written that like 10 times this week in making notes, and I'm like, fail hard, fail fast, fail hard, fail fast. Because if you figure that out, the faster you do, the better you can make it successful.
Why?
Rovio took 63 games before they made Angry Birds. That's why.
Okay. Why fail hard? I know what I mean by that.
I don't know.
Do you want me to help you?
Help me.
All right, so...
What are you thinking?
What I think that means is you... Okay, so I play and study Magic the Gathering. It's an awesome
nerd
game. Yeah, yeah. But one of the things is, one of the things that one of the podcasts that I listened to over the break was talking about. It's Top 8 Magic for any of you who care. It's my favorite podcast. It was one of the inspirations for this podcast because it's really off the cuff and they just kind of sit down and talk for a while about magic and they're hilarious. They also talk a lot about basketball and all sorts of stuff. They go all over the place. No, it's actually really good.
Okay.
It's really amazing to listen to these people talk about basketball or baseball or anything, comic books.
So you were listening to them?
I was listening to them. And one of the things that they said is success can actually hamper your growth. And the reason is because if you do something and you're successful, you don't always know why you're successful. Hmm. So you do all of the same exact things that you did last time, and you may not be successful this time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily teach you what's successful. It just teaches you that you were successful. Whereas if you fail, if you're able to self-analyze and you're able to look at it objectively,
mm-hmm.
then you can pinpoint what you did, what choices you made that led to your defeat. And so that's I think, why you fail hard, because the harder you fail, the more opportunities you have to learn, you know? Now, the opposite is can also be considered. There's a book that I love. I've talked about it
Success
before. It's called Rework.
Softly?
That's funny.
What's the opposite of failing hard?
Succeeding hard.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would think succeeding softly, but okay.
That's kind of in the middle.
Spectra. I got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Anyway, so if you fail, you simply learned what doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't necessarily learned what has worked.
Mm-hmm.
But if you succeed, and you succeed very, very well, then you've learned some of the things that are successful. You know, maybe some of the things you did didn't work. In fact, we talked about it a little bit at Push Button. There was a guy from EA, their analyst. Mm. I don't remember his name. I think I've got it written down somewhere. But he was talking about testing things. So they do a lot of free-to-play stuff where free-to-play, and then you can pay for perks.
Right.
Well, they had this system to purchase currency where you had different tiers, you know, and at the top you had like your $10 tier. Next was your $20 tier, your $30 tier, $40, $50, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but it went from like $10 to $100 in 5 steps. Well, they wanted to see if something else would work better. And so what they did was they switched it. They put their highest dollar currency at the top.
So they just physically changed where the numbers were on the screen?
Yeah, but they also changed the amounts.
Okay.
So I think what they actually did was they had $10 to $50, and then they switched it where they had $100 at the top and $10 at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that that actually increased the amount of money that they were making.
Hmm.
But the problem with that is they changed too many variables at once.
Okay.
They couldn't pinpoint and say, you know what, this is what worked. Switching it worked, but they changed the amount as well. So they couldn't pinpoint, was it just switching it? Was it just increasing the amount that people could spend? Is that why we're seeing a bigger return on investment? Was there something else happening? Did we have a sale? X, Y, Z. And so, I don't even know where I was going with that. It was just a really interesting
anecdote. Well, no, it's succeeding. It's succeeding. So,
oh, right.
Okay, so, Star Wars. I've got lots to say about Star Wars and Lucas, and I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes stuff for the new trilogy.
Cool.
And every time it shows George Lucas talking with other people, and they're all idea-making or whatever, and he's like, oh, we're going to do this and this scene, and that. And he sounds like he's just, you know, spouting the truth, and everyone's like, okay, that sounds great. And you know, in the back of their mind's like, oh my gosh, that is the worst idea, but I'm getting paid Benji's to sit here and nod at him. And I'm not going to tell him differently. Mm-hmm. And so he succeeded. My theory is he succeeded in the first ones because he was young. He was scared out of his frickin' mind because he succeeded on this one that he didn't know. And so he was very careful, and he was doing the best he could for the other two movies. But he asked for help. And, you know, I'm almost positive this was the scenario. And then the other three come. He had already re-released the first three. The next three come, and he's like, shoot, dude, I'm the boss. Hey, yeah, we're doing this because this is poetic. And they're like, yeah, that's not what poetry is, but I know I'm going to get fired if I tell you no because I'm the boss, you know. So that success, and it's not that he was successful. It's not that he was famous and rich at the time. My feeling is he didn't reevaluate, and he didn't ask for outside help. And
I see that
because I'm dying right now because I got a game design that I'm working on for a pitch that's due on Monday, for a project outside of school, and I just need to talk to Trent about this. Honestly, oh my gosh, I need to ask everyone I can about this because I'm not getting the feedback I'm wanting. Everyone goes, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. And I'm like, crap, that's not good. I need someone to tell me honestly, like, well, why haven't you thought about this? Because this isn't working in your game, you know?
Yeah.
And either my game design is that good, which I can't believe I am, or, I haven't talked to enough people, you know? I haven't talked to enough people yet. Oh. Like, I need to talk to more people. I want to think that I've spent a lot of time on this, but it doesn't matter how much time I spend on something. It matters on how much I bring, how big of a community I have, you know? That's that success that comes from the postmortem is, it's not, you know, I could self-evaluate myself, but unfortunately I'm a little biased no matter how honest I want to be with myself. I have some biases towards my personal progress. And it's not until someone tells me, do you realize how often you pick your nose? Because that's really distracting. It's like, oh my gosh, never noticed. Oh, you know?
I didn't notice either.
Yeah, and I'm doing it right now.
Whoa.
So anyways, let's do some postmortem-y stuff.
He wasn't actually picking his nose. He was just rubbing it.
I get a mustache that itches, man.
Yeah.
So Trent came prepared. He totally blindsided me, which is totally something to do as a postmortem, is blindsiding someone.
Yeah.
We'll put that in
what didn't work.
Are we going to postmortem our postmortem?
Maybe later.
Oh, this is getting meta.
Okay, so let's first of all talk about what did actually work. Because I think we were really successful in a lot of what we did. First of all, I think, and this is going to sound really pompous, but I think we worked really well together. I mean, I think we have a really good rapport.
I agree.
We genuinely like each other.
I have a good face.
Oh, man.
No, that wasn't even a zing.
Killing me.
Oh.
And when we speak it, all right, this is totally ruining it, but we speak intelligently about things. You know, once we get impassioned, we start going, and you have a really hard time stopping us.
That's
obviously
true. We need to have, like, code symbols that you can't see. Because it's a radio podcast, but it's like, wrap it up. No, cut it off. We need to pull out red and yellow cards on each other, nice. I think.
So wait, does that mean I get kicked off if I get two yellow cards?
I'm tempted. I really am.
I thought you didn't like sports.
I'm not sure what sport that cards are attributed to, but I've been flashed a card on the playing field when I was in sixth grade by someone, so I know it exists. Okay, good to know.
It's my favorite. No, Australian rules football is my favorite.
Oh, that's right.
Soccer is my other favorite.
And I'm making the wrap it up symbol so we can get back to postmortem. All right, give us something else.
Okay.
What else did we do good?
I thought we had some awesome guests.
Agreed.
Yeah, Josh and Karate and Sterling and everybody who's been on. Adam was hilarious. We need to have him back on again.
Agreed.
In fact, he actually sent me a text message the other day, and he was like, hey, do you know Peter? Josh's brother. And he's like,
oh, okay.
He would be a really great guest. And I'm like, he's recruiting for us. anyway, so we'll have to have Josh and Adam and Peter on. And a bunch more people. There's a bunch of people.
I know. There's so many people that we've got in this family that we need to get talking to. Oh, so time out. IGDA meeting in Salt Lake, if you're around, this Tuesday, 7 o'clock. one of my buddies that I met this summer, Luke Dickin.
Oh,
he's a programmer doing his PhD in Scotland. Mm. Yes, he has a Scottish voice. Yes, I'm in love with him because of his Scottish voice, and I'm in love with anyone with a Scottish voice. But
he's listening right now.
I hope he is. He should be asleep right now, but he's going to video chat in.
Are you keeping tabs on him?
No! I was talking with him today because he's going to be...
Luke, are you tucked in? Did you brush your teeth?
You better be asleep because we talked about this. You need your rest. No, he's going to video chat in from Scotland.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's 7 o'clock our time, but it's going to be 2 a.m. for him. So it's way later than 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. right now. So it's way later for him. He's probably waking up.
It's probably prime coding time.
It is prime coding time for him. But yeah, he's like a flipping guru. AI guy. That's what he's getting his master's in, is video game AI.
That's awesome.
And so that's what he's going to talk about this Tuesday. I'm super stoked about it.
Tuesday, 7
o'clock, Smart Bomb. Josh's home city, cool. Hometown.
Cool.
Home.
I'll have to let the wife know.
You need to go to that.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Are you kind of off the radar?
Did you get the emails today? There was like a ton of emails about it from Josh.
Oh.
For the IGDA group.
My email today.
Oh, okay. There's your problem. Yeah. You'll figure it out. But yeah, so it's like super cool that he's, and he's like, dude, I need to get on your podcast. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
So yeah, there was a long one, but it was a tie-in that we're getting just random people like, I want to hang out with you guys. So yeah. It was super cool. So
I want to hang out with more people too.
Yeah. So we got to do a video chat with him sometime because he's just wicked smart. He's really passionate about games and the community. So
cool.
Okay.
Well, I had a couple more.
Yes.
But did you have any that you wanted to add?
Things that went well?
Yeah.
No.
That's okay.
I don't find many things that go well. Like, it's like okay. Those... I let other people figure those out. That's what I found myself in postmortems, is I'm like, we can pat ourselves on the back. And I'll give those out when I can tell that we're not doing well emotionally, but... We need to, you know, I want to get to the needy greedy. As Nacho Libre says.
I think it's actually an excellent movie.
It is.
Ego Power. Oh, man. It's the best. At the end. Oh.
Anyways.
Ego Power. Yeah. And he really gets it.
He totally does.
It's one of my
as far as, like, what went well, what you said, I agree with. I mean, there's not many other things that is like, this specific thing worked really well. And part of me goes, I'm just too biased to know if those things really went well or not. So I'll let you.
I think that's a good skill that anyone should have, is to identify what was successful. Because if you can't do that, then how can you ever be successful?
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get it. I think that comes, for me personally... I know when I was successful when I start talking to people. Not that they go, you were successful in X, Y, but not Z. And right. I go, they're right. But by getting their opinion, I can reevaluate, okay, what did I do in X? What did I do in Y? Because they saw this in X.
Right,
but
right,
what
right.
I actually did was what made Z more successful. I'm going to continue to do Z even though they didn't think it was successful. Right? Like, so it's not until I get other people's opinions about those successful moments. Am I able to evaluate what I? That's my take. I agree. I should probably be more positive. Whatever. Blah blah blah. Go.
All right. So I think one of the other things that made us so successful is that we didn't hesitate to just do something.
That one I'll agree with. Yeah.
Yeah. I
I'll be honest.
I don't know if you guys know how this whole podcast started.
Yeah, this is a good story. Go for it, Trent.
So we. We talked about the IGDA before. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what exactly happened. I think it was August. Was it August?
Yeah, you kind of had a bromance moment for
me. Whoa.
That's what it was.
That actually kind of happened. So we went. I went to this IGDA meeting, and I wasn't going to go. But then I'm trying to do this. This whole Business Thunderhead Interactive, trying to get that off the ground, and I'm like, you know what, I really need to start becoming a part of the community and getting out more and really talking to people and you know, networking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I went to this IGDA meeting, and I was so late because I got so lost on the University of Utah campus. And I went in this door and like walked around all these cubicles and I was like, what? And then I went in this other door and I was like, there's got to be something somewhere. And so I like just kept following where I hadn't gone before. Mm-hmm. And eventually I found this little room with like old black wood paneling or something full of computers.
And it's a bunch not a of people, little room.
Well, it was actually a fairly large room, but in the grand scheme of
it's a big studio, all right? Yeah, no, yeah.
It was a studio, and like half of it was like almost a break room or something.
Uh-huh.
And the other half was just full of computers with people sitting around them. And then the other half was there was this screen set up.
Mm-hmm.
And some dude just kind of talking about stuff.
Did you see the hair plucking?
No.
You missed the hair plucking. I'm going to have to show you that later. Yeah. Anyways, keep going.
Anyway, so I sit down and I'm trying to hear, but I'm in the back. I got off late from work, so I'm in the suit and tie. And I'm trying to pay attention and there was something, I don't know, what was it? Like,
did I make fun of suits and devs?
Well, yeah, you did later.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a big deal.
Oh, okay.
I knew what you were talking about. So, anyway, you were talking about something like, there was something with sound and video or something?
It was one of the projects I was working on that I translated video, basically the light intensity,
right,
into sound and then back to, so converting the soundtrack that you would normally hear, which is an arbitrary soundtrack of that complements the video.
It was actually really fascinating and really interesting to me. The little that I got, it kind of started like sparking some synapses, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. This guy's really interesting. And
wow.
So then I started taking some notes, and I still have them. If you want,
you took notes, dude. I don't know.
Anyway, and this guy was just talking about being this like student ambassador,
IGDA scholar.
IGDA scholar.
Yeah.
So he got to do all these interesting things and like go to GDC and go tour all these awesome
studios
and told us all about it. Anyway, so spoiler alert, that guy was Spencer. And if you haven't guessed already,
you're really bad at spoiler alerts. That's one of the things that I'm going to mention in postmortem.
Oh, good,
just so you know.
Good.
Okay, keep going.
Wait, I'm bad with them, or
no? I'm awesome with them.
You are bad. you are awesome at spoiling things.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at warning people that you're about to spoil things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
So, anyways, afterwards, you know, I went up and I don't even remember what happened. Anyway, I started talking with all the people who were hanging out, and there were some really interesting people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know Grayson Ritchie a little bit, Mike Daly, like two people that I'd seen before. I'd seen him at Game Jam and, mm-hmm. and kind of talked to him briefly there, but hadn't really talked to them. So we got to chatting and just kind of shooting the breeze, and got involved talking with Spencer. And I was like, oh, I really think I like this guy. And at one point he had said, so follow me on Twitter. And I had no Twitter account. And I'm like,
are you kidding me?
I really should get a Twitter account and just experience that.
You didn't have a Twitter account when I met you?
Nope.
Wow.
So I got Twitter, and I searched for this Spencer Buchanan. And one of the first tweets that I got from him was about something. You were going through something. I don't
know. Oh, that one.
Like, there was a really hard thing. Like, your eyes weren't communicating, and everybody was about ready to give up.
Yeah, it was a nightmare of a
day. So I wrote this email, sent it to Spencer, and basically said, like, you know, some of the things that you talked about in your presentation are some of the same things that are going to help you get through this.
Yeah.
And so I sent him that, and then he was like, oh, cool, thanks. And then I was like, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time. In fact, when I worked at Sensory Sweep, there was a guy, I think it was Sean Evans. Does that sound right? Why does that not sound right? Sean.
Anyway. We know Sean. He was such a cheap guy.
No, he wasn't.
No, man, that was a Goonies reference. Gosh.
Wait, I haven't seen Goonies in a long time. I did watch Lord of the Rings, though, which is like Goonies 2, The Revenge. So, anyway, there's this guy, Sean Evans, who... That was the first time that I wanted to do a podcast with somebody, because he and I started talking about games.
Mm-hmm.
He was a designer. He was actually kind of an associate producer, and may have even been working towards producer, but I was in QA to start, and we didn't really get along very well with anybody else, because we were in QA, and we were always right, mm-hmm. and everybody else was always wrong, and why can't they just fix it?
Then you got grown up.
I moved into the art department, and so that barrier wasn't there anymore. And so I started talking to him, and we started talking about games, and we talked about Beyond Good and Evil, which is one of my favorite games, and we talked about Black. And I was like, man, I want to just talk to somebody about video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we could do a podcast. And this was when Sensory Sweep was falling apart, so I never really did anything with it. Anyway, so I was like, you know what? I could probably talk to that Spencer guy about games, and we could just do a podcast about something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent Spencer an email and kind of persuaded him.
You didn't have to try hard, I'll be honest.
To start a podcast. Well, you were really busy, and it was. I mean, it's a sacrifice.
No, it totally is. It totally is. Well, let me give you the other side of the story, though. So. Okay. So, yeah, like, the day after, and I was on
high. This is not going to be 45 minutes. It's already 45.
The day after I got to do that talk, or it's not a lecture. I didn't lecture. I talked a lot, but...
Was it a talk?
Presentation. Church? Presentation. There it is. The day after I did that presentation, I was on a high. I was like, that was so much fun. I got to meet so many cool people. Some weird guy in a suit was totally talking to me, and I don't know who he was. Whatever. And it was just really cool people. And I just thought, I love this part of the game development is that community and you know, bouncing off ideas, having people with the same goals, yada, yada. And then the next day, I come in, our game designer gets removed as the designer. Our art director on our game gets removed as the art director. And they say, Spencer, you're in charge of all art direction. And other producer, you're in charge of game design now. And both of us were like, oh, okay, that's cool. So whole team's getting changed up, you know? And I was, and what was really hard for me was I just really resented the other two that dropped the ball. And there's no way around it. They dropped the ball. And they both admitted that to me later, that they're like, we dropped the ball and we deserve to not have those positions anymore. And, you know, and it was really frustrating because they resented me in the beginning.
Were you a producer at the time?
I was a producer. I was dealing with publishing, producing. I was dealing with a new haptic feedback hardware that works with our... And by the way, you got to do art direction at the same... On top of all that other stuff. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I was a little frustrated because I'm like, I don't know what to do. This is way over my head. I asked for a lot of help from our professors / executive producers, and I was like, I need your help because I don't know what I should be doing with this and on top of all the other things. And I was just super overwhelmed. I felt betrayed. A lot of emotions running through. And so I put it all on my blog, and it was like 3-4 pages. And Trent, within a day, had emailed me this 5-page thing, and it was like, oh, my gosh, that is exactly what I needed. I placed it on my blog with his permission afterwards, and I was just like, this guy's freaking rock star, you know, man. I'm so glad I met him. Yeah, hey, this is my side of the story.
Okay, deal with it. All right, sorry.
But no, I was just like super stoked, and then the next day he's like, dude, we need to do a podcast. And he went into this big long explanation. I didn't read it. All I heard was, we need to do a podcast. I'm like, I don't have the time for this, but this is the only thing that's going to make me sane through what I now have to deal with. I mean, like, that was literally my thought process, and I just thought, I've got to do this. And was it the next day? I don't know. It was like a week, less than a week.
It was within a week.
And you just showed up and you're like, what's a good day for you to do this? I'm like,
we emailed each other to set up a time to meet to talk about doing a podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
Spencer invited me to university. Here's something that Trent does really good. He does really good at blindsiding me. Every time he blindsides me. But it's for my good. It's like the thing that I need. And to be honest, it really is.
So I came in and we were talking about, like, we should do a podcast. Uh-huh. And like, okay, well, we're talking right now. I have my phone. Why don't we just go record it? And so that's literally how the first podcast started.
Yeah.
And we, you know, didn't hesitate to do it. We just did it, even though we had no idea what we were doing.
No.
Obviously. No. I think you guys recognize that and understand that.
Still.
If you're still listening to this. Yeah, so, cool.
No, and that was definitely something that, postmortem-wise, I think is something... Now that we've talked about it, see, I needed someone to bounce this idea off, but I realized that is something that we were really successful in, is pulling the trigger and just gunning for it and just doing it. And when you're like, well, let's just record this, I'm like, I was not ready for this. I'm not going to be ready for this next week when we planned on doing it. So sure, whatever, let's just do it. You know, we just shot from the hip and we did our best. And we're learning. And that's definitely something, I think, that comes with the fail hard, fail fast. That we've learned a lot of things, and I had to...
Yeah.
Like, I've totally made the biggest mistakes. Why I'm the editor of the audio, I don't know. But every time I do it, I'm like, oh, crap! Totally set it to mono. It's only coming out of the left ear. Great. Good job, Spencer. You know,
you got to edit the audio because it's recorded on the computer. Right there.
I know. And it's like, oh, I'll take the initiative. Let me pull the trigger this time.
Yeah.
Don't make Spencer pull the trigger. All right. Cool. Do we have enough good things that we did?
No, one more.
Okay.
We didn't take ourselves too seriously. You know?
Oh, that kind of
goes
so true.
Goes to, you know, pulling the trigger and just doing it.
Yeah.
You know? We didn't really take ourselves too seriously. Which I think we were really successful with.
I've got something good to say about that, you know? I just don't know what it is. When I was an artist, fine art, I lived the scene, and I tried as much as I could. And I just never could, because I found myself, like, laughing in the back too much. This is the same reason that I hate sports, is when I play, it's not that I hate it, it's people hate me. Because I'm sitting there, like, on the defensive line on a football game, and these guys get way too serious, and I just start giggling, and everyone's like, dude, come on, man, get serious in the game. It's like, no, man, this is too funny. This is, like, way too silly of a situation not to laugh at and go, oh, my gosh, that was epic, you know?
Oh, man, you should see me at games sometimes.
Oh, good.
Real games? Real Salt Lake?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's good to watch. Good old. What profession league is that? That's
like, MLS. Major League Soccer.
Is that really MLS? I didn't know it.
Yeah, we were the champions.
It looks like chump change watching those games.
Like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
We were the champs, man.
I went to a game. Anyways, no, that notion of taking yourself seriously, I've never been able to really do it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there with these people, and they're just like, my whole heart and devotion came through this thread of twine that I wrapped around a pig snout. And it's like, dude, I get it, but, you know, can we talk, like, serious for a second and realize that I maybe this is something producerly, I don't know, but I've found myself never been able to get too involved in something, you know, taking,
like, emotionally.
Yeah, well, or? I don't know, just like, I guess taking it too seriously that it's my entire life. I live and breathe that one object, you know, that art piece or that code that I'm working on.
No, I know.
You know, and I appreciate those kind of people, but I personally can't do it, and it allows me to have a perspective of everything and everyone and go, okay, I understand why you're so involved with the pig snout and twine thing. I totally made that up. You can't steal it because I'm probably going to do some experimenting this week with that. But, you know, and so it's allowed me to always look at everyone's perspectives, hopefully. And it makes everything a lot more interesting instead of just my heart and soul is all about Pig Snouts or Code right. or all about games. Like, yeah, I appreciate games, but man, I really appreciate some cool fine art and some really cool sculpture and performance art things that are going on out there and some really cool techie hardware stuff. Oh my gosh, totally saw the coolest new Arduino board that has like every device built onto it. I could start geeking out, but I'm going to stop myself. I mean, okay. I hope to another keep podcast. My hand in everything. Ooh, that should be, no. No more podcasts.
No. I mean, like.
Oh, another one. No.
Okay. I don't need to.
I can tweet about it. I think I did tweet about it because I was just awesome. Like in love with that thing. But yeah, I'm hoping that I can appreciate multiple things so that, and probably my defense to make sure that I never get too involved is that I joke or I make light of the situation just so I'm not too serious. Because if I am, I feel like I'm sticking myself down a rabbit hole. I don't know. Am I wrong?
What do you mean by that?
Like, well, not a rabbit hole.
You feel like you're about to turn into Adam Hunter? Like hipster extraordinaire?
Ooh, good dig. That was zing-tastic. We're so getting him for that.
I know.
He's going to kill me.
He's going to come slap my tires.
No, I don't know. Like,
I mean,
it goes back to last week.
Before slashing tires was cool.
Yeah. Well, like, it goes back to the idea of a knowledge worker and a technical worker that we talked about a couple weeks ago in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. I haven't stopped talking to people about that notion of.
Oh, I was supposed to bring you that book. Sorry.
Oh, totally jerk butt. No, but technical workers are these people that are supposed to be able to only do one thing, and they've got to do it excellently, and the only way they can be better at it is by increasing production. Mm-hmm. Where the other guy, the knowledge worker, has to be aware of everything around him, and by doing that, he's going to find the creative outlets that'll allow him to solve the problem that he's facing right then. But the problem should be different next time, right? And I really am trying to take that to heart. I'm really trying to focus on what it is that I need to deal with today and what tools do I need to, but what else am I also kind of just keeping vibrant in my mind? Mm-hmm. Because next time the problem may be exactly what I just happened to see with that Arduino board that just, it was cool and I geeked out about it for 15 minutes, but that's going to solve my problem next time. That might be the solution, but I never would have thought about it because all I'm thinking about is game design and nothing but game design and all about game design where...
Well, anyone that you talk to about getting into the industry tells you to be well-rounded. I mean, that's gonna make better games.
Well, and it's an interesting handle, especially because here at the university, we have recruiters coming all the time, and we have EA, we've had Microsoft, we've had Lucasfilm, LucasArts came, all these different people, someone asks it, and they're like, are you guys looking for the well-round, I can't say it, the all-around person that knows a little bit of everything or someone that's really good at one task?
Both.
No, that's the thing. They flip-flop on that freaking issue all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because and EA comes, and then we ask them when they come again, and they totally say the different answer. It doesn't matter. I don't need to tell you what the answer is. It's just one or the other because it keeps changing, and every company is different.
You need both.
And that's the thing. It's like, which one do you want to be? You know, it's like the answer is yes, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, if I need to get my foot in the door, which one do you need? Because I need to get my foot in the door. You know what I mean? We're all students. We're just playing house here. We just need to get in the door. And then, tell me what I need to do to get the job, and then I'll figure it out later kind of thing. But that's a really interesting thing that all these recruiters always just flip-flop between this, well, you need to be well-rounded. Well, if you know one thing really well, that's really good to put on your resume. It's like, okay, got it. I don't get it.
So
I don't know what
either way is what they're looking for.
Yeah, and that's,
you don't want somebody who's okay at a few things or someone who's decent at one thing.
Yeah,
they want somebody whose whole life is revolving around one thing, or they want somebody who's really good at everything.
And honestly, I think it goes down to the team of 10 that you're put on. Because that team of 10 is going to rely on you in a certain way, right? I mean, so the recruiter, that's the funny thing. The recruiter can sit there and BS you all day long, and they probably will, and they're going to screen your resume, and as long as your resume looks nice, they'll pass it on to that manager of that 10 that they need to fill one spot.
Yeah.
And they're like, this guy's too specific to this task, I can't use him.
Yeah.
Or this guy is exactly what I need because I need a technical artist, and boom.
Oh, you know what? This guy doesn't have the one specific skill that this team is lacking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go. Yeah, he's really good at everything.
Yeah.
I can't use him because I need this one specific thing that he's good at. I need somebody who's great at that thing.
Yeah. And which is really funny because Valve does what the heck does Valve do? I mean, like, they demand that all around, but they demand that one specialty in something, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about, okay, if I really want to go to Valve, what's my specialty? I'm like, crap, they don't want project managers. They hate project managers. I can't say that I'm project management. And so I'm like, well, my art's mediocre. My coding's not getting anywhere soon. You know, my luck is game design. And so I've been really trying to focus on game design and understanding how to instruct and pitch people on game design a lot more. And so, I mean, that's just a personal thing that I'm like, I think Valve's got it. Like, I really think that they're really smart. Hire me. But they...
I think Valve is smart also.
Yeah. No, but I think that's who I'd want on my team, yeah. Is some guy that's really talented, but is well-rounded because he doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, let's get back to our postmortem. It's all about taking yourself seriously. You like that? Oh, yeah. Man, I'm bringing things full circle.
All right, so now...
Hey, Spencer brings things full circle.